Okay, next case for argument, Demetros versus Ashcroft.
Bless you for coming here. Wonderful.
Good morning, Your Honor. Richard Trace for Kalin Demetros and Zvatka Demetros. In their petition regarding their application for asylum, I think they've established in the record Mr. Kalin Demetros, principal applicant, that he was, in fact, persecuted. He suffered the harm in that he was arrested, held for 10 days. He says beaten, blows to the body, injuries to his waist, that the police took him to a hospital. There wasn't a hospital report, he explained, because the hospitals aren't allowed, according to his explanation, to give hospital reports when brought in by the police. He also testified that he was taken into custody on account of his membership in a political group and because he was expressing his political opinion. His political group is the Belinden, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, a Macedonian group that seeks to assert the ethnic rights of the Macedonians who live in Bulgaria, a group which has been thwarted by the Bulgarian government and the constitution and by police action, preventing them from associating, organizing, or being officially recognized. I think coupling of these two facts established in the record would entitle Mr. Demetros to an award of political asylum to be allowed to stay here because his life is in danger. The immigration judge felt otherwise, although found essentially that the petitioner's claims or testimony was credible.
Basically credible.
Basically, yes, Your Honor.
But not inherently persuasive, whatever that means.
If I might be so bold, maybe what the immigration judge was talking about is the questionable political nature of the claim, rather than the facts in themselves as being that he suffered the harm and was a member of the group. I'm not sure what she meant, but maybe that's what she meant. The petitioner did offer a number of documents in support of the membership in the group, the conflict between the Macedonians and Bulgaria and the Bulgarian government, and one expert, fairly lengthy statement by Mr. Robert Hayden talking about Macedonians in general, the historical nature of the conflict between them and the Bulgarians and other countries in the region, and supporting Mr. Demetros' claim that it's quite likely that he would suffer persecution and harm if he were to return to Bulgaria. I'm not sure what more Mr. Demetros could do, given all this being true, to show that he did suffer the harm and that his life would be in danger, as anyone would in that circumstance, from that particular country, belonging to that particular political organization. If I may add, we only have the petitioner's testimony and evidence, and there are some exhibits corroborating the testimony brought forth by the petitioner. And we have the immigration judge's opinion. And that's all there really is in the record. The Immigration Service had a very brief cross-examination of this petitioner, one page that really didn't deal with any of the issues that I think would concern this court.
Is this Linden organization, is this illegal under Bulgarian law?
It was illegal because the Constitution forbid any organization that would
so it is an illegal organization.
Be separatist in their determination of separatism. But that's contradicted by Mr. Demetros' expert witness, the expert statement, saying that they're there to assert the rights of the Macedonians in Bulgaria, who aren't allowed to assert themselves as Macedonians. It's as if an Irish, an Italian, or a Jewish person couldn't go around saying they're Irish, Italian, or Jewish, or have a political organization based upon that fact.
But is it an organization that's advocating separation of the Macedonian?
I think according to the Bulgarian government,
it's
yes.
It's separatist.
Yeah. Right. That's their claim. And certainly in that region, separatism is very volatile.
Right.
But that's their claim. I don't know how realistic their claim is. And we've offered evidence to the contrary. And there's been no evidence of any advocation of any violence or overthrow of the government in that sense. And if they do advocate separatism, in what form? I don't know that we know that. What form of separatism? They're a big part of Bulgaria, but they're not allowed to be Macedonians in Bulgaria. They can only speak Bulgarian. They're recognized only as Bulgarians. So their cultural identity has been attempted to be whitewashed away. They feel that's unfair for many of the reasons outlined by Mr. Hayden in his report. So I think it's...
Are Bulgarians discriminated against in Macedonia?
Are they?
Discriminated against in Macedonia.
That's according to the reports, yes.
No, I'm not sure. Did you hear his question?
Are they discriminated?
Are Bulgarians in who live in Macedonia discriminated against by the Macedonians?
I don't think there's any evidence of that in any record that we have, Judge. The Bulgarians...
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we have asylum requests from Macedonians.
Well, that might be, but the Bulgarians control the government. And control all the executive functions of the government. Bulgarians control the police force, the army, everything else. They're in power. And I don't know how the Macedonians in that sense could effectively discriminate against the Bulgarians. It's like...
Well, Albanians are discriminated against in Macedonia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Muslim Albanian
region is...
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But the Bulgarians here are in control. And I don't think Mr. Dimitri's case is necessarily linked to how the Macedonian government would treat Muslim Albanians or the Serbian government treat Muslim Albanians, who are discriminated by most of the countries in that region. I just think the Bulgarians are in control here. The Macedonians are trying to assert an independent political party, are being denied that. He's a member of that party. He was active in that party. And for those reasons, was persecuted. I just might add that in the cross-examination by the INS, we don't have much. There's just a couple of questions. In the brief by the Immigration Service, to the Board of Immigration Appeals, there's not one argument made that addresses any of the issues before this court. It's a summarily written brief that just says the immigration judge was correct in her findings. It doesn't help. The board's decision doesn't help. So we're left with the burden of proving everything, and we don't have the advantage of a clear and forceful response from the other side at any point in this proceeding. There's no closing argument. As I say, very little cross-examination and not even an effective brief, unlike now, we finally have something to go against. And that's what's missing before this court. That's thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trace.
Thank you very much.
Nardone?
May it please the court, my name is Nicole Nardone. I'm the attorney for the respondent, the United States, in this case. The court today has one issue before it, which is whether substantial evidence supports the finding of the board that Mr. Dutremont failed to establish past persecution or a well-founded fear.
Well, we have the usual problem that the immigration judge's opinion is hard to make sense out of. It's just very hard to figure out what reasoning process is being employed. It says, respondent was arrested because the government of Bulgaria felt that the purpose of the organization was contrary to law. Well, what if they had a law that said Macedonians can't work? in Bulgaria. I mean, citizen. They're Bulgarian citizens. They can't work. So would that mean that the Macedonian couldn't seek asylum because he'd been persecuted in accordance with law?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, I believe...
Well, what's your answer to my question?
Well, I agree. It would certainly raise some issues for us if in this country, if a person were coming to our country saying they were being persecuted.
Well, I'm talking about this country. I'm talking about Bulgaria.
Well, the Bulgarian country has decided that this organization is a separatist organization, threatens its stability one way or the other, so therefore...
I'm not talking about an organization. I'm talking about a hypothetical case in which the Bulgarian government decides people of Macedonian ethnicity in Bulgaria should not be allowed to work. Now, could a Macedonian seek asylum? Or is it your position, or the Immigration Service's position, that if you're discriminated against in accordance with law, you have no right of asylum?
I don't believe that's the position of the court. I believe it's that the court found that he was not persecuted on behalf of a ground that's covered under the INA, and...
Well, I don't understand it, because what he says is, what she says is, because the government of Bulgaria felt that the purpose of the organization was contrary to law. Well, that's exactly like my hypothetical case.
Well,
he seems to have the view that if you violate the law, you can't be a victim of persecution. Is there any merit to that view? Do you want to defend that, or...?
I'm not prepared to defend that case, sir. However, I would say that there's another ground upon which...
Then what's left with her opinion? What's the ground of her opinion?
The ground of her opinion is that the incidents that were alleged simply don't rise to the level of persecution.
But
why? You have to realize how she gets to that. I have to tell you, Ms. Nardone, my heart goes out to you because you have to come here and you have to defend the indefensible. We have here an immigration judge who concludes that a government's refusal to recognize this organization undermines Mr. Dimitrov's claim, when, if anything, the government's refusal strengthens his charge that the Bulgarian authorities seek to repress the political views of the ethnic Macedonians within Bulgaria. And, you know, in this case, we have an expert explaining what Umo Ilinden is. We have a number of decisions here that involve asylum applications of members of this very organization, in which we viewed the fact that the government's refusal to recognize the group is evidence which would support the petitioner's claim.
I certainly understand that, and I do recognize the court's frustration with this decision. However, I do think there were two bases upon which the judge arrived at this conclusion. The judge discusses the incidents in the alternative, saying that even if we were to assume that this organization does fall under coverage by the INA, so therefore this is a covered group, and this is a... That even so, the incidents simply don't rise to the level of persecution. The one-time arrest and beating that Mr. Diskrimov allegedly
suffered. Yeah, but what she says about the beating is sort of goofy too. Says while the beating was unfortunate, if it occurred, the court is of the opinion that it was police brutality and was not specific to the respondent personally. Well, no, but suppose it's because he's Macedonian. not because his name is Dimitrov, but because his Macedonian. Why would that bear on?
Well,
that
I think
suggests it wasn't persecution.
I think the judge does make that determination, Your Honor, but I think then the judge also makes a second determination saying that even if it was persecution based upon this person's association with this legal organization or a legal organization, that regardless it still doesn't rise to the level of persecution.
And that, I mean, so, such a non sequitur, it says on the next page, they don't find the respondent has established a well-founded fear of future persecution. Why? Because Bulgaria is a parliamentary republic ruled by democratically elected government. Well, suppose that's true. A democracy is majority rule. Well, you can have a democracy which persecutes a minority. So what? It's also illogical.
I agree, Your Honor. I think I do share your frustration with these decisions. However, you have to recognize that they're...
Why don't you confess error? I mean, really, it's becoming a pattern. You know, we had another Bulgarian case, the Blagojev case, a couple of months ago. It's as if these immigration... Are the immigration judges given any training about foreign countries and what persecution is and the history of the Balkans, for example, which is highly relevant here? And what about, now this professor who gave this report about Bulgaria,
mm-hmm.
this fellow from Pittsburgh,
right.
Professor Hayden, was this part of the record?
Yeah, I believe it was, yes.
Well, why didn't the immigration judge discuss it? I mean, it's one thing to say it's a parliamentary government, you know, parliamentary structure and democratically elected in some sense, but... But you think that what he said, I mean, this is amazing. President Bulgaria said, in the territory of the Republic of Bulgaria, there's no Macedonian ethnic minority. Well, what's that about? That certainly sounds like the sort of thing you'd expect a government to say if it was persecuting a minority. You say they don't exist. But shouldn't she have discussed this and said, you know, we have this professor who seems to know a lot about Bulgaria, and he says this. Then she could give reasons why she wasn't persuaded, but she didn't even mention it.
Well, she does mention on the record on page 199 that she did perform a careful review of all the documentary evidence that was submitted.
But that's just boilerplate, right? That doesn't mean anything. If you have, obviously, she doesn't have to talk about all the evidence. But this is his most important evidence, apart from his own testimony.
You know, sort of bottom line here, she really misunderstood the essential nature of his claim. And because she did, she could not fairly assess his testimony.
Yeah, I believe she did consider the incidents and went through each incident that was alleged by Mr. Dimitrov in turn. She talked about the 1991 arrest and talked about whether or not that arrest constituted persecution under the INA. She went through his claims of economic harm and his claims of harassment.
Well, she concluded that the government's refusal to recognize Umilo Lyndon demonstrates that Dimitrov was not mistreated on account of his political opinion. That is just foolish.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, which page did she mention that?
I don't have the page in
front
of me, but she did.
Okay.
Believe me.
Well, again, I would just come back to the fact that I think she also made an alternative finding, which was that even if Mr. Dimitrov had been targeted, that the incident didn't rise to persecution.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Nardone. Mr. Trace, anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.